This week's offering from News Press storyteller Amy Bennett Williams pays homage to that staple fruit of summertime picnics and cookouts, watermelon. Despite the juicy mess these sweet melons can leave behind, it's an indulgence loved by all in the Williams rural homestead, from kids down to the livestock.
"We have identified a power problem affecting your location," declared the automated voice. "The problem is with a main line and affects 2,547 customers." The voice went on to assure me that a restoration specialist had arrived and our electricity would be back on by 9 that night. Damn, so much for my plans to vacuum. Instead, enforced low-tech idleness stretched ahead of us. My husband Roger and I rattled off the list of commands to the boys. Don't open the fridge, keep the doors shut, and don't flush the toilets. Our well system is electric. Then he headed to the store to pick up some charcoal so we could finish cooking the chicken that now sprawled half done in the oven. As soon as he was out the door, the pleas began. "Can we have some watermelon? We'll take it outside, please." A half melon, the size of a frat house punch bowl, lay face down on a platter on the kitchen counter in a shallow pink pool. Thanks to Roger, watermelons are a staple at our house. I've never been so welcoming. The fruit's outsized logistics confound me. They don't fit in the refrigerator. Plus, who wants to spend half an hour at the wet work of hacking one into storage-sized pieces, then another half hour mopping up the ensuing juice slick? But as soon as they start appearing in stores and on stands, Roger hauls one home every few days to the boys' glee. It's become a family tradition, the watermelon picnic. We take some pieces out and sit on the front steps, feasting. The best ones are at night, accompanied by the frog corral in the pasture. But that hot afternoon, envisioning the inevitable slippery, sloppy mess, with no fresh water to clean it up, and the dinner-spoiling potential, my initial knee-jerk maternal reaction was to say absolutely not. On the other hand, it would keep them busy and happy outside for a while. "Please, Mom, please." The dogs stared and wagged in silent solidarity. They love watermelon as much as the boys do. Older and more dignified Molly, the pit mutt, waits for tossed chunks, while clever Scout prefers to drag an entire piece over to her treasure cache, a shady place under the Walter Viburnum. Hooking a front paw over the wedge, Scout devours the fruit, leaving a neat crescent of rind, which she then carries around for a few days until it dries to thin green jerky. Uneaten or dropped pieces go to the livestock, who also love the stuff. There's nothing more amusingly creepy than watching the mare after she's taken a too big bite of the red flesh. Chewing greedily, muzzle-dripping streams of crimson juice, she works her washcloth-sized tongue over her lips, spraying drops and flecks as she crunches wetly through her helping. The roosters dare her ire and her hooves as they circle, darting in to snap up fallen scraps. The boys' entreaties begin again. "Please, just a little piece?" "No," I reply as they sigh. "Not just a little piece, the whole thing," I say, hiking the heavy half moon up and heading for the door, which they race ahead to open. We settle on the steps. The boys dig in like happy little savages, slurping, swilling, sloshing, swallowing, and of course, spitting seeds. I take a bite, too. I'd forgotten how much I like this fruit, how its grains of liquid sand tingle between tongue and palate. A few of Pablo Neruda's lines I read long ago float up, and I try to paraphrase my memory for the boys. "Round, supreme, celestial, watermelon is the fruit of the tree of thirst, the green whale of summer, an earthbound moon dissolving in rubies." And when Roger returns, after he collects sticky kisses from wife and boys and dogs and dumps the groceries, he has a piece too. We all sit wedged on the steps, shoulder to skinned knee to shoulder to sun-flushed cheek, completely, sweetly stuck together.